Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. And your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories. On Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls _ Pep.
People have their opinion.
What other falsehoods are out there?
A lot of the perception things about us.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Rebuilds are difficult. Sometimes it takes years and years. I still believe, given a really good offseason with this draft pick that we have coming and with our ability to get some veteran players in here alongside these young guys, we can make a substantial leap.
Kick back, relax. Locked On Bulls starts now.
My job is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. And these guys are men.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck, also host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago, following all 82 Bulls games this season. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls _Peck. You can follow my co-host Jordan Malley at Jordan C. Malley. And you can follow us at Locked On Bulls. Or hit up that text and voicemail line that's always there for you, 24-7, 365, 331-979-1369. Again, that number is 331-979-1369. Our inbox is overflowing with thoughts of you, our fellow Bulls fans, following that loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers on Wednesday night. The Bulls' third straight loss, their fourth in their first five games of the season. Lots on our minds as we try and process exactly what has happened and what has gone wrong. A few things that I want to get to on today's show. Jordan's out. I'll be holding down the fort by myself. Obviously, we'll primarily be reacting to this most recent loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Another road loss for the Bulls. Another loss for the Bulls where they cough up a double-digit lead. And the execution on both ends of the floor just completely collapses down the stretch, in particular in the fourth quarter. Want to touch on some of Jim Boylan's struggles trying to coach this team and get them to play up to or better than the sum of their parts. So far, it's been the exact opposite. I want to touch on Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen, the dynamic duo that was supposed to bring this team to the next level, both of whom appear to be struggling and are struggling together on both ends of the floor. And then I'll finish up today's show touching on the latest update we have of second-year player Chandler Hutchison, who is theoretically going to be ready and available for Jim Boylan on Friday night when the Bulls host Derrick Rose and the Detroit Pistons, and if Jim Boylan's rotation will change now that Hutchison is available. So, off the bat, first reaction to this Bulls loss to the Cavs, 117-111 was the final. Bulls outscored by 8 in the fourth quarter. At least they didn't go scoreless in the final 3.5 minutes this time like they did against the Knicks, allowing the Knicks to go on a 15-0 run to finish that game. But this was more of the same. This was the Bulls completely falling apart in the fourth quarter against a subpar opponent, what was supposed to be a subpar opponent. Another night in which the Bulls get completely manhandled on the boards. Cleveland had a 15 rebound edge in total rebounds last night. Not quite as bad as the Knicks, who had a 25 rebound edge on Monday night, but still pretty freaking bad. Jim Boylan harped about it after the Knicks game, and it didn't really get much better against the Cavs. Tristan Thompson, Kevin Love, both very strong rebounders, a force on the glass. Thompson in particular crashes the offensive glass. The Bulls have always struggled with Thompson and corralling him on the offensive glass. He had a total of 10 rebounds last night. 5 of them came on the offensive glass. Kevin Love, 20 rebounds on the night. Just a rebounding machine. 47-32 was the total spread on rebounds between the Bulls and the Cavs. And this is a team, our Chicago Bulls, that is not good enough to give their opponents second chance points every night. They just cannot afford to do that. Boylan saw that they were struggling with it against the Knicks. They've been struggling with it through most of these first four games of the season. And then what happens Wednesday night in Cleveland, the exact same thing. Luke Kornet did have one of his more useful games on the offensive end. You know, he played 19 minutes off the bench, scored 9 points on 4 of 6 shooting, added a couple of rebounds, a couple of assists, even had 2 blocks, which was the first defensive useful thing we've seen Kornet do so far this season. And still, he was getting beat on the boards. Lauri Markkanen was getting beat on the boards. It was ugly. And look, I know that the Bulls fans have been clamoring for the second-round draft pick rookie Daniel Gafford to get into this rotation ahead of Luke Kornet, especially because Kornet's shot had been struggling, not falling, and if he's not giving you that, then what is he giving you at all? And we saw Gafford be a very active, high-motor player who was corralling all kinds of rebounds and diving and making, you know, plays on loose balls and winning 50-50 balls and all that kind of stuff, as well as being a very very useful rim runner on the offensive end in his preseason action. And Boylan has not changed that, unwaveringly keeping Kornet in the rotation ahead of Daniel Gafford. And because Wendell, who started Wednesday morning questionable with that eye inflammation, did end up playing through the thumb injury that's still giving him some issues, we did not see Daniel Gafford. We saw Wendell and Luke Kornet, in addition, of course, to Markkanen and Thaddeus Young. But to me, I understand Bulls fans wanting to see Gafford out there, change something up, try to change something. If Boylan keeps saying we can't keep losing the defensive rebounding battle, then maybe try putting Gafford in there instead of Kornet and see if it gets better. But I don't think Bulls fans should be putting all of their hopes on this team improving merely by putting a second-round rookie into this rotation. It is the tip of the iceberg when the iceberg is a gigantic list of faults and flaws and problems that this team has. It might help a little bit. It might solve one or part of one problem, but the Bulls have way more problems than that. And to me, the main problem is Jim Boylan right now. And I'll get to, as I said, Lowry and LaVine having some more struggles against the Cavs in a minute, but this is another game that the Bulls coughed up against a bad team. The Bulls, between the Knicks game and the Cavs game, got outscored 130 to 104 in the second halves. They got outscored 70 to 47 between the 2 fourth quarters combined between the Knicks and the Cavs. Outscored by 20 plus in back-to-back games where you cough up a lead that you had earlier in the game and should be good enough. The talent that your roster has should be good enough to beat those teams. But no, you lose because of a heroic Bobby Portis performance, and then you lose because your defense is continuing to struggle with the pick and roll against the Cavs team that, like, let's be honest, isn't all that good. Darius Garland, Colin Sexton, these guys are not world beaters. Jim Boylan's rotations continue to make very little sense. Jim Boylan did mix up the defensive schemes and coverages a little bit in Cleveland, but he still is too often using that aggressive blitz in the pick and roll. And the Bulls' defense and their lack of communication and the lack of awareness of guys trying to defend off the ball is leading to wide open threes and wide open looks in the paint for once the roller on a pick and roll gets that ball and has a 4-on-3 situation at his disposal. The Bulls are getting exposed. Markkanen and LaVine are at the forefront of that. And still, Jim Boylan is insisting on them doubling and blitzing these pick and roll situations. We saw him doing a little bit more switching last night, but it's still not working. All of this blitzing on the pick and roll, they're getting cooked consistently. And this Bulls team is jumping out to leads, or even after slow starts in some of these games, you know, regaining some kind of confidence or some kind of momentum and then gaining a lead, only to cough it up in the fourth quarter. Offensive execution goes out the window. Jim Boylan is, you know, making questionable decisions as far as who he's leaving out there. Last night, we saw him close with Thaddeus Young instead of Lauri Markkanen. Maybe Thad Young is quickly becoming a veteran that Boylan trusts, especially on the defensive end, and this Bulls defense needs all the help it can get right now. But what does that say? that Lauri Markkanen, one of the cornerstones of your young rebuilding team, can't be trusted by the coach to be out there from, you know, from the halfway point of the fourth quarter to finish the game? No, instead, Lauri bridged the third quarter and the beginning of the fourth quarter, checked out around the seven-minute mark of the fourth, and did not come back. And we got another example of Jim Boylan just proving to us that he doesn't know how to do the simplest things as a coach last night. In their first game, it was not having a timeout when he needed one at the end of the game against Charlotte, couldn't advance the ball. In the game against the Knicks, it was taking a timeout with half a second left at the end of the third quarter because he had too many timeouts to go into the fourth quarter, so he had to burn one and then didn't even draw up a play while using that timeout. And then this one might be the craziest one of all. After using and winning successfully his first coach's challenge of the season, getting a foul called against Luke Kornet overturned, on the ensuing jump ball in Cleveland last night, Jim Boylan let Chris Dunn, 6'3" Chris Dunn, take the jump ball against 6'9" Larry Nance Jr. When both Lauri Markkanen, 7 feet, and Wendell Carter Jr., 6'9", were on the floor and available to take that jump ball instead of Chris Dunn. And, you know, we were wondering, like, what's going on here? Like, does it have to be Dunn versus Nance? Like, what's going on? And we got the explanation when speaking to the media after the game. Jim Boylan said, no, I let Chris Dunn take that jump ball because I believe he could win it. What the fuck is that? Is that a joke? You're going to let a 6'3 guard take a jump ball against a 6'9 forward after actually winning a coach's challenge? Oh, gee, surprise, surprise. Chris Dunn didn't win a jump ball going up against a guy who has half a foot on him. What on earth was that? Like, honestly, fireable offense right there. What was that? It's laughable. It's embarrassing. And it's one of many examples of our quote-unquote head coach doing things that are laughable, embarrassing, and inexplicable. Inexcusable. And it pisses me off because I do believe that this team, the individual talents that it has, it should be better than the sum that we're seeing right now. But it's not. The Bulls as a team are performing worse than the sum of their individual parts. And what does that point to? Directly, it points to a failure to coach them. All right. Now that I've got that off my chest, before we get to our next topic, wanted to give a quick shout out to our friends at Indochino. Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering Locked On at checkout. That's promo code Locked On at checkout at Indochino.com. You know what my favorite part about this time of year is? Sweater weather. Leaves on the ground and threes from downtown. That's right. For some, it's fall season. For those of us in Chicago, it's actually winter right now. But for the rest of us, it's B-ball season. Pro and college basketball are tipping off, and there's no better way to feel a part of the action than to have a stake in the game with mybookie.ag. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. But regardless of the way you bet, if you're going to bet this season, you should do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. Use your basketball knowledge to prove you have what it takes at mybookie.ag, where they make it easy to play and even easier to get paid. If you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA. To double your cash. Just visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. All right. Next thing on the agenda, we've got to talk about Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen, y'all. I know that I talked a little bit about them in part of our mailbag discussion on yesterday's episode, primarily people concerned about Markkanen and his inability to play defense. And you could say the same thing for Zach LaVine, who was talking up a big game this offseason about improving that element to his game. And we saw Zach LaVine, who has always told us, I think I'm a pretty good on-ball defender. I struggle at times. I know this, you know, getting lost playing off the ball. We saw another example of that in a crucial moment in last night's game when the Cavs were, you know, clamping down on one end and then making a run on the other. Zach LaVine completely lost his man off the ball. Colin Sexton makes a great backdoor cut and gets an easy flush, and Zach is just caught there standing flat-footed wondering what the hell just happened. It's a part of Zach's game that's still bad, and it's a part of Markkanen's game as well that is not good enough right now. We have seen Markkanen show us a few things, like his footwork's getting a little better. He is better being an on-ball defender at times, but he still, especially for a guy who has bulked up a bit, has shown that he just gets out-muscled. Whether it was Kevin Love or Tristan Thompson, they were abusing Markkanen in the post. He gets backed down by everybody. He was getting backed down by Bobby Portis on Monday night. Even Julius Randle. He's soft. Markkanen right now looks soft. And he is just as bad as LaVine when it comes to knowing where to be when he's guarding off the ball. When to help. When to switch. Neither of them seem to have a firm grasp of whatever it is their assignments are. And their teammates can only mask that so much. And on the offensive end, they have each had one dominant game. Markkanen had his 35-point game against Charlotte, and then, you know, Zach followed that with 37 in their lone win of the season against Memphis. Last night, Markkanen, 16 points on 4 of 12 shooting. He did get to the free throw line a considerable amount. He went 6 of 8 from the free throw line. He went 2 of 6 from downtown. That's the second straight night where he's gone 2 of 6, and that is the best mark he has managed to do this season. On the season, Markkanen still is shooting just 21.2% from downtown. Zach LaVine last night, 16 points, also on 6 of 14 shooting, so not quite as bad as Markkanen from the field, but not great. Zach LaVine did go 4 of 8 from downtown last night, but free throw line, 0-4-0. Now, I do think some of it is Zach LaVine is still getting an unfair amount of calls, and by that I mean no calls, by NBA officials. He still has not gained that respect to get calls when he drives to the lane. I think LaVine has gotten contact and drawn contact and should have gone to the free throw line a lot more than he has so far this season. But to take zero free throw attempts in this game against Cleveland is absolutely ridiculous, inexcusable. He did tone down the turnovers. He was only credited with one turnover last night, so that's an improvement because he's had a couple of games with like 4 or 5 turnovers already. Just 2 assists. So, you know, an underwhelming game offensively from both Zach and Lowry. But to me, the issue is that they do not look like they play all that well together. You know, we saw this in small sample sizes in the first season of the rebuild when Lowry was a rookie and Zach came back from the ACL. And then again, because of various injuries last season, we didn't see huge sample sizes of Zach and Lowry on the court together. Some of it was good and some of it was not so good. So far this season, however, not only are the two of them getting cooked on the defensive end, and the two of them, when they're guarding pick and rolls, are a nightmare. It's disastrous. They don't communicate. They don't know where they're going. And maybe it's because they don't fully understand what Boylan's trying to have them do, where they're blitzing these, you know, the guard on the pick and rolls, but it's not working, and it's showing. On the offensive and defensive end, Zach and Lowry are clashing, and the numbers back it up. Per NBAStats.com, Zach and Lowry, in 130 minutes together on the court so far this season, have an offensive rating of 102.2. Not great. And a defensive rating of 115.8. also not great. Put that together and you have a negative 13.6 rating when Zach and Lowry are on the floor together. And this is supposed to be the two foundational pieces of your rebuild. Now, it's not to say that it can't still work and they can't find a way around this and they can't build some kind of better chemistry than what they have right now. But to me, the most obvious answer right now, if you have to try something different and Zach and Lowry are not performing well on the floor together, is to stagger them. Because that also allows you to have one of your two best scorers on the floor at all times. Because some of these units that we have seen Jim Boylan put out there, like, say, the three-guard lineup that just is unwatchable, where he has Chris Dunn, Kobe White, and Ryan Arcidiacono out there for far too many minutes at a time, it has been usually those three paired with Wendell and Thad Young. We did see Jim mix that up a little bit in this recent game where it was actually Lowry instead of Wendell. So at least you had another offensive piece out there. But even still, Jim Boylan's rotations right now are not working. It's clear as day. Anyone with, you know, one working eye and half a basketball sense can see that. Maybe try to stagger Zach and Lowry more and allow them to operate in units where they are each the focal point, because they're not working well together offensively right now. And on the defensive end, they are completely vulnerable and leaving whoever is left to try and help completely exposed. It's ugly. It's honestly very hard to watch, and it's unsettling, especially considering that we were hoping that we were going to see an all-star season from, you know, one or maybe both of these guys this season, or at least all-star caliber seasons. And they have both gotten off to very rocky starts. There's still plenty of basketball left to be played, but the way things are going right now, something has to change, because the dynamic duo that we were supposed to have with Zach and Lowry is, well, it's not anywhere near what we are expecting it to be. All right, before we get out of here, a quick look ahead to Friday's matchup with the Pistons and an injury update on Bulls wing Chandler Hutchison. So just before tip-off Wednesday night against Cleveland, NBC Chicago's Mark Schanowski reported that all systems are go for Chandler Hutchison to be available Friday night after dealing with this ongoing hamstring injury that he sustained doing off-season summer workouts before training camp even started. Now, obviously, the first and most obvious question is, what does this mean for Jim's rotation? Does Chandler Hutchison make his way in there? And perhaps the most obvious answer is getting rid of that three-point guard lineup that I was just talking about that does not appear to be working at all right now, and taking Ryan Arcidiacono, most likely, out of that lineup. And, I mean, I guess I'm open to the idea of seeing it, just because it would be something different, and that three-point guard lineup clearly is not working right now. But I'm also, you know, limiting and tempering my expectations for Chandler Hutchison coming in here and fixing anything, based on what we saw last season in his, you know, injury-shortened rookie season. Look, the kid can rebound well. He can get out and run the floor pretty well. But if the primary issue with that unit has been, all right, well, Kobe White's young and exciting and he's fast and, you know, he can create his own looks and he can be, you know, like a firepower scorer off the bench, but he doesn't really have anything to anyone to play with and shooters to spread the ball out to. How does that change with Chandler Hutchison? Because according to some folks that I've talked to, I have not been in Bulls practices recently, but I've talked to a couple people who have been watching Chandler Hutchison get up some shots as he's made his way back from this hamstring injury. And according to trustworthy sources, Chandler Hutchison's shot looks like the same broken shot he had as a rookie last year. He's not hitting his threes consistently in a practice gym, not even a real NBA game. And the shot form, the shot release, is still slow and still problematic. So instead of Coby White, instead, you know, when Coby White's actually looking to get others involved and be a bit of a playmaker and create offense, not just for himself, but for the people on the floor, instead of spraying the ball out to Chris Dunn in the corner, who will brick a three, he's going to spray the ball out to Chandler Hutchison in the corner, who will brick a three. Maybe, you know, there's a possibility that, Hutch will at least help this team on the defensive end, and boy, do they need it, with some of that defensive rebounding, which he did show that he could do well in his rookie year. And I'll certainly at least take that, because guess what? That three-point guard lineup was getting out-rebounded every which way when they've been on the floor so far. So, you know, at least I'll take that, but I still think that some of the offensive issues that second unit is dealing with will remain, because, I mean, like, if you're taking Archie out, at least Archie has hit his threes this season. He's knocked down good open looks from three, more than Chris Dunn, who is 0 of 9 from behind the three-point line on the season. But if the logical suggestion would be, all right, well, you want to still get Chris Dunn his minutes because he's a, you know, he's a plus defensive player, and the Bulls are still trying to showcase and shop him, and, you know, reasons 2, 3, and 4. Archie is the one who would lose minutes to Hutch. But Archie's the one who's been able to knock down shots in that second unit outside of Coby White. So if you take Archie out and you put Hutch in and keep Dunn in, then you have two guys playing with Coby who can't knock down shots off the ball. So that doesn't fix the problem at all. So that's why I'm very curious to see what exactly Boylan's plan is and whether or not Hutchison gets a real spot in this rotation once he's ready to go. He can help on the defensive end with the rebounding, no question. But does his presence fix the Bulls' offensive woes in that second unit, or actually, hard to believe, make it worse? Because it could. It could make it worse. Archie has at least knocked down some shots. I have no faith in Chandler Hutchison knocking down shots. And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just basing that off of what we saw last season. The kid can't shoot. So there's that. Boylan has to do something with this rotation. What will he do when he has another healthy piece at his disposal? We'll find out on Friday night. Derrick Rose and his new team, the Detroit Pistons, coming to the UC. And I would not at all be surprised to hear more love for Derrick Rose from that UC faithful than they give to their own team. Because right now, this 1-4 Bulls team has nothing to cheer about, nothing to cheer for. Honestly, they should. They've only had the one home game against the Raptors where they got, you know, run off the floor and lost by, you know, 25. If the Bulls, against a middling Pistons team without Blake Griffin, lose again to go to 1-5, and 0-2 at home and have dropped 4 straight, they might hear some boo birds. Derrick Rose will get MVP chance at the free throw line, and the actual team that plays at the United Center might get booed off the floor. I don't hope that's what's happening, but it's entirely possible. I wish things were better through 5 games. I was nowhere near the crazy level of optimistic that some people saw. Yes, it was a soft start to the schedule, and that's why it is so troubling that the Bulls are 1-4 right now, with losses to Charlotte, New York, and Cleveland, and a blowout loss to the one decent team on the schedule so far in Toronto. It's very troublesome. But it's not all that surprising to me. This is still a young team that doesn't know how to win. Jim Boylan doesn't know how to win. Jim Boylan doesn't know how to coach. And his whole grit and toughness and spirit and whatever, this team has not shown a whole lot of fight. Hopefully they'll show a little bit more fight and a little bit more pride when they take their home floor again Friday night. Until then, until tomorrow, when I will be back with a fresh episode. Hopefully Jordan will be with me. Matt Peck saying, don't forget, you can always hit us up on that text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. We will do some more mailbag content either tomorrow or on Monday of next week. In the meantime, follow us up on Twitter. I am at Bulls_Peck. He is at Jordan C. Malley. We are at Locked On Bulls. Appreciate all of you out there in Bulls Nation. Appreciate our sponsors for today's show. And As always, go check out those other shows and podcasts of the Locked On Chicago family. Locked On Bears, Locked On Cubs, and now Locked On White Sox and Locked On Blackhawks, the two newest additions to the Locked On Chicago podcast family. Much love, Bulls Nation. Until tomorrow, see you red. Be good. Peace out.
Here in the Advocate Center in this building, you can just see the vibe they've been in this building.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com